Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
Welcome back. Candy Watts joins me from the Eric Stewart Group. If you're thinking of buying or selling real estate in Maryland, D.C., or Virginia, give us a call today at 1-800-900-9104. We'll be happy to give you a free market evaluation of your property and help you get it ready for sale. All right, Candy, let's jump right back in. Let's talk about finished space. One of the things that I come over to people's houses, and they sometimes have an attic space, top floor. You know, maybe it's unfinished attic space. And they say, hey, should I finish this attic space or not? I'd like to add some additional square footage to my house, some livable space. How do we qualify something as livable space?
Well, you have, first of all, it has to be heated.
Okay.
It does not have to be air-conditioned, but it has to be heated with a permanent source of heat. It can't be one of those plug-in oil heaters or anything like that.
Okay.
And then, of course, we right back to the ceiling height like we were talking about.
Right.
One of the things I discovered here, there is a minimum ceiling height of 5 feet.
Okay.
So that could come into play like with the Cape Cods or some finished space in an attic. And, of course, you go right back to the some of my guidelines here say 7 feet. Some of them say 6.4 feet for the ceiling height in order for it to be considered living space of a house.
I had a home for sale in Chevy Chase on Leland Street about a year and a half ago. And it was a Cape Cod, and the owner had had stairs going up to the top floor. And there was only about 10 square feet of space that had a ceiling height that was about 5 feet or 5.5 feet in height. The rest of it was this very low area. So you could throw a bed in there, but and it was pretty. It was nice. It was probably about 400 square feet of finished space, but it wasn't a really livable area. It was only maybe just right as you came out of the staircase was it tall enough. The rest of it was very low. So you could not call that livable square footage.
Even if it had permanent source of heat and was tied into the heating system of the house, it would be really hard to do that because you have to think of the function of it also.
Right.
You know, you're not going to put your 6 foot tall husband up there to sleep.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's really just beautifully finished storage.
It may be, you know, a guest space, which isn't used very often.
Right.
But other than that,
okay.
As long as it had the windows,
mm-hmm.
that can be accessible, you have egress.
Right.
Because if you're going to have somebody up there possibly sleeping, you have to have windows for egress also.
Makes sense. When you say that a window has to be no more than 44 inches above the ground, right, in a basement?
To the windowsill. From the floor to the windowsill is no more than 44 inches because there's a height requirement there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have granny sleeping in the basement, granny has to be able to, or a two-year-old, they have to be able to scamper out of that window. And more importantly, you know, people have to be able to get in to save you. So it's a two-way street for the window.
Right.
So that's why you have the height requirement and you have the size requirement. So it's big enough to get out of.
So really we've talked about the size of a bedroom. I think previously I talked on the show about having a room that is 7 feet wide by 7 feet long by 7 feet tall as being a standard size of a bedroom. A bedroom that is 7 feet in length, width, and height that has a window. And does it have to have a closet?
Well, anything in my research that I have found recently doesn't say anything about having to have a closet. That's one of those gray areas.
Well, if nothing is said, it's not very gray.
It is a gray area because most functionally speaking, for a bedroom to function as a bedroom, you have to have a closet.
Well, unless you have an armoire.
Well, as I was going to say, in some of the older houses where they didn't build closets, you have to have them.
Right.
So in that regards, to have, you know, a separate IKEA, whatever, you know, in your bedroom for to put your clothes in. So, you know, you can have a standalone closet, you know, but in the more modernly built houses, it is standard to have a closet.
Right.
In a basement room, if you don't have a closet, it would be functionally adequate to put an armoire in there.
Okay. Okay. So, okay, you've answered that question. You have to have a certain amount of height in a storage space for it to be considered actual living space. And it has to have a permanent source of heat, but not air conditioning. What about grade of land? As an appraiser, when you see a house that is graded very heavily from the backyard coming down to the back of the house, does that affect the appraised value in some way negatively? Whereas if you come to a house that's got a level walkout basement, does that improve the value of that from an appraiser standpoint?
From an appraiser standpoint, and I think I'm a little bit unique in that regards, where I have all this experience working with buyers.
Mm-hmm.
So I know how your buyer thinks.
Yes.
I know how they place value on a house. Most appraisers have no idea.
Okay.
They just go in and are looking at the bricks and the sticks and the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So
they won't pay attention to the land.
They may not.
They're just going to pay attention to the sticks and bricks as a comparison with something else. In the same way that an assessor would, right? An assessor
exactly.
from the county is going to say, well, you've got three bedrooms, you've got two full baths, you've got this much square footage, it looks like it's got brick on the exterior. You're just looking at the sticks and the bricks, as you say, and they're going to assess the property for the same assessed value for this house with a really bad lot that might back up to maybe a tall power line pole or something like that that would diminish buyer's interest and actually reduce the saleability of that property. You can't walk into an assessor's office and say, hey, I back up to a power line pole and get a reduction in your taxes.
Sometimes some people can get an appraisal
uh-huh.
if they hunt it out and look for a good appraiser that takes all these things into consideration.
Okay.
You know, even for lending purposes, if there was a house that was backing to the beltway
uh-huh.
and to the sound wall or mm-hmm. to power lines,
right.
they would like to see at least one of the comparables with that same locational influence.
Okay.
Because typically speaking, you have to think like a buyer. It's like if you were on a busy street.
Right.
If you're looking at two exact same houses, one in a busy street corner, one back in a nice little quiet residential street.
Right.
Which one do you think a typical buyer is going to prefer?
I think I know the answer.
Well, yes. Exactly. So someone's going to pay a little bit more to get that house back in a nice quiet residential street than
sure.
on the busy loud street with all the cars. What about the dog, the kids? It's a fear.
So this year, you've sold some houses, and you've had some success with people getting their properties through the appraisal process.
Yes.
Did you have any difficulty with any properties in particular?
Not me, because, mm-hmm. you know, I was a little upfront with my sellers about any type of influences they may have. Like,
yes.
for instance, the one that we sold in Great Falls.
Right.
Even though it didn't back to Route 7.
Mm-hmm.
It was just one block away, and the noise came right up that little, really short little block.
Right.
Because it still influenced, because the noise was still heard. So there are some other influences that you need to take into consideration. You need
mm-hmm.
to think like a buyer
mm-hmm.
and look at the competition that's currently in the area where you're trying to think of where my subject property, is going to fall in our competition.
Right. Hey, perhaps you've been on the market and been unable to sell and have expired, as we call it in the real estate business, or maybe you withdrew your listing, and maybe it's even been a couple years since you tried, and you'd like an honest assessment of the property and what it is probably worth in today's market. Not from somebody who's just motivated to get a listing, folks, somebody who wants to tell you the truth, because as Candy lists property, she sells property. She likes to take listings that are priced correctly to the market, because then she satisfies both your desires and wishes, as well as honestly reaches the right group of buyers who might be interested in the property. Hey, give us a call today, and you can talk to Candy or myself or Terry, anybody else in our group, at 800-900-9104. Again, that's 800-900-9104. Now is the time for you to think about selling your home. It's a great time to get ready. We're about 90 days out from the spring market. So although you might say, hey, it's not the time to go on the market, and we would agree with you, now is the right time to have us out and interview us. Again, that's 800-900-9104. You can take a look at us online at ericstewartgroup.com. You can see our current listings, and you can see our quiet listings. We have listings coming to the market in our coming soon section, both in Maryland and D.C. as well as in Virginia. All righty. Well, Candy, thanks for joining me today.
It was a pleasure.
Always is. I'll be right back with my final thoughts. Don't go anywhere.